right, here we go. Ready for a new month. Ready for a new theme. And the month of August theme from the Centers for Spiritual Living, which we embrace and share and express as well, is spiritual living through love, compassion, and care. I like that a lot. And the Centers for Spiritual Living quote for this theme is, "We embrace love as the self-givingness of God to all creation, moving through us into expression as compassion, care, mutual respect, and kindness. We express interest in and support for the well-being of ourselves and others. We express unconditional love when observing the suffering of others and do what we can to give aid and show compassion." This is what we're doing as a spiritual community, first of all, for ourselves, our families, one another, and ultimately out into the community and the community of the world. Brother David Stendel Rast, and I'm never sure how to say his name because I haven't met him, but I'll ask him as soon as I do. He said, "Our vision is a critical mass of persons around the world embracing love as a guiding principle, an animating force for living in sacred relationship with self, others, and the natural world." Sacred relationship with one another. That's our goal, that is our intention, and that's a possibility. Do you love the idea of living in sacred relationship first with yourself, then with the people you love, and then with the people that you're just getting to know, ultimately with people that you've never seen before, living in sacred relationship? What would that look like? What would that feel like? It would be kind. It would be fun. You know, there's nothing heavy about this. I love the idea of playing with each other, don't you? I love the idea with playing with people in the world. That's a sacred relationship. You know, my theme, and has been for many, many years, is everything is sacred. Nothing is serious. Everything is sacred. Let's take ourselves lightly while we're creating these sacred relationships with ourselves, which is what comes first, and then with one another. Kate was talking about visioning. We've been talking about visioning. We don't just talk about it. We do it, and we get results. We read in Scripture, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." That sounds a little harsh, but what so is, we don't thrive if we're just living the day-to-day, get this done, get that done. That's not really living fully. It's not perishing, but it's not thriving. So when we develop a vision for our own lives, when we're creating a conscious intention, a sacred covenant perhaps, with ourselves and spirit, we set those intentions and they manifest and our lives become fuller and more meaningful and richer and more valuable, not only for ourselves, for our loved ones, but for everyone we might encounter. Then, when we get a thriving community like this who cares about each other, and we do the visioning together, we are moving forward in such a way that we are deepening our connection with Spirit and widening our experience in the world and making a difference there. We're here very much on purpose. You're not just here because the seats are comfortable. They are, though, aren't they? You did that. Remember? We've been drawn together very much on purpose because we have some sacred work to do in our own lives and in the greater community. And that's a wonderful thing. See, there we all are, all around the world, holding each other's hands while we're making the world a better place to be. So it's essential that we move from the moment-to-moment gotta-do stuff, although we still need to do the gotta-do stuff, but why not do it with lightness and fun and joy and gratitude? But we need to move that into co-creating a world of real love and real caring and real compassion. And in order to do that, we need to dream a new dream, for this world, because the dream of the world has become something of a nightmare from time to time. Not the first time. Let's realize that. Let's look back over history. There have been a bunch of nightmares that people have lived through and gone beyond, learned from. That's the key, isn't it? Learned from, stood up in the truth, aligned ourselves with spirit, and done things differently then. Okay, so we need to dream a new dream, because the world dream itself is not exactly what we want it to be right now, yet. So in order to do that, we have to push beyond the parameters of what it looked like before. And in order to do that, we need to change our own beliefs and get some new paradigms. I still like that word. I know it's been around since the 70s, but so have most of us. A new paradigm. A whole new mental concept, a whole new spiritual idea about what is possible. I need to stop living in the past and go, well, that didn't work. Well, I tried that, remember? No, let's stop arguing for our limitations. I love that phrase. Let's realize that the way we did it in the past might have been okay for a while. It isn't anymore. Some of the beliefs that we had, some of the limiting ideas, some of the prejudices we might have had never did really work for us, and they certainly aren't working now. So we must develop a whole new idea and expand our possibility and our intentionality. So some of these nightmares we've created have been about lack, have been about greed, have been about loneliness, have been about deprivation, have been about apathy, and much more. We need to change those, because we are consciously creating a new dream individually and together now. So you see, those other things, they're not our natural state of being. I simply want us to return to our natural state of being, which is wholeness, which is peace, which is love, caring, joy. The things that have developed here and there in our personal lives and in the greater world, they aren't divinely designed. There's something that people have done, not intentionally, usually, sometimes, okay, sorry. But we have done this as a human race, not us particularly. But we've made mistakes by misusing this wonderful law of mind that Jesus taught us about so simply. As you sow, so shall you reap. What have we been sowing? Some of the seeds we've been sowing have been beautiful. Look at the art. Look at the music. Look at the people who continue to develop consciousness, become more caring, become more aware, becoming more connected first with spirit and then with one another. We continue to create beautiful things in our world. Some of them are less than that. And that's the part we are ready to make a difference about. So the law of cause and effect, we all have it. We all use it. It doesn't matter if you're 2 or if you're 92. If you mix certain colors together, you're going to get a certain result. It doesn't matter if you're 2 or 92. If you misinterpret the arithmetic that you're working on and you think that 2 and 2 are 65... you're not going to be punished for it. You're just going to have a wrong answer. And then we learn the right answer and we apply it next time. And so that's what we're in the process of doing it. And it's very exciting. I don't want us ever to become disappointed, discouraged, and hopeless about all that other stuff that we're needing to contend with. Some of it quite locally, some of it globally. Some of it within our own houses. We can't allow ourselves to become disheartened. Not when we realize that there is a power for good that's greater than we are, and it's ours to use, and we're using it all the time, so let's use it for good. So then we become hopeful. Hope is better than discouragement, right? But after hope comes faith and knowing. That's what we're moving toward in this new paradigm, in this new concept of the way we can be in our own lives and the way the world itself can be. So this new dream is going to require new attitudes. Now, you see, it's important that we stop dealing with the hardness of the attitudes. Too many people have the problem, not yet medically diagnosed, but the hardening of the attitudes. So let's begin by softening them a little bit, by being willing to take another look at what's possible. What's possible in our own minds and hearts? We need to see beyond appearances. Are you willing to do a little more about seeing beyond appearances? I am. I want to give you a great story about this, a true story. And many of you probably know it already because you're very bright people. There was a couple that got off the bus many, many, many years ago in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Is that ringing a bell? Well, they went to Harvard and quietly asked to see the president of Harvard. Well, the secretary saw this little couple, she in a gingham dress and he in homespun, and said, well, the president is too busy. You don't have an appointment. He won't be able to see you. It'd be a long time before he could see you. And they very politely said, it's all right, we'll wait. And they sat in the front office hour after hour. And you know the story, right? And then finally, the secretary told the president about this couple out there. And he says, and they're sitting out in my waiting room looking like that, or something like that. And so he didn't want them out there. So he said, well, bring them in for a minute. So they came in. They very politely said, well, we're here because our son attended Harvard for a year. He was so happy here. He loved it. He loved the school. Unfortunately, he was killed tragically after that year. And we would like to put up a monument in his memory. The president said, we can't have statues all over this place. I'm making this up. I'm sure he wasn't that harsh. Was he? I don't know. I wasn't there. So the president wasn't touched by their offer. He rebuked them. And then he said, you know, we can't put up a statue for every student who came here and died. They said, well, it wasn't a statue we had in mind. We would like to donate a building. And he looked at them incredulous, and he informed that the buildings that were on campus cost over $7 billion. They couldn't do that, he was sure. The wife looked at the husband and said, is that all it takes to start a university? She said, well, let's just start one of our own. So they went to Palo Alto, California, and they created the prestigious university named after their son, Leland Stanford Jr. Do you think that fella had any regrets? That he had not been able to see through appearances? We need to stop prejudging, you know? Every person on this planet was created out of the one life, the life of God. Brilliant life, loving, joyous, fabulous, creative life. And all of the attributes of the divine reside within each one of us and every person we pass on the street anywhere. Another new attitude we need to develop is this willingness to stop reliving the past. You know, it's interesting. I love history. There's people here who teach it. I love history. But I don't want to be stuck in my own history. I want to learn from it, give thanks for it, move on from it, and go, whew, that's not me anymore. And I want to learn from the history of the world, because if we don't learn, then it repeats itself, right? So we want to learn individually. We want to learn as a whole human race, but not stay there. And when we find ourselves in the past reliving something, whether it was something wonderful or something that was still troubling us, I think that's the time to go, oh, I'm right here in this present moment now. look around me and see what's happening in my wonderful life right now. This is who I am. Yes, I came from all of those experiences and they enriched me. They made me more aware and more aware of where I want to move to next. So it's very important that we develop a new attitude of a willingness to stop living in the past, because I want to live in this powerful moment of now, as Eckhart Tolle suggested, right? Because it is in this powerful moment of now that I'm creating the next moment and the next moment. And if I'm bringing the past into it, that's what I'll be creating in the future. Now, that just does not make sense to me. I want to be living so fully in this powerful moment of now that that's what I'm bringing into my next expression, my next feeling, knowing, doing, living in the next moment. You see, humankind has created the world as it is today. And now we're all called to create the new world in a healthy new paradigm. How do we create a new paradigm? How do we do that? The only way I know to do it is to start with myself and to start at home. To treat my loved ones with care and respect. That's where it begins. But don't I first have to treat myself that way? And that wouldn't mean, you know, working 16, 18 hours a day and not getting rest and not taking care of my body. That's not respecting myself. I'm going to take very good care of myself. I want you to take very good care of yourself. So it begins with us. And when we recognize that we are expressions of the living God, that the spirit of love, compassion, joy, wisdom, and creativity abides within each of us, and that we're here to manifest that expression of divine life, then we begin to treat ourselves more respectfully. And then it's easier to create those loving, respectful, mutually respectful relationships with others. Then it continues with friends, neighbors, co-workers, people we just meet here and there. We want to start seeing beyond the appearances to see the person's divinity. This is not the first time we've heard this, is it? But sometimes we need to say something more than once in order to finally get, see beyond the appearances. See, what does that mean to me, to see beyond the appearances? It means to stop judging and have an inner sense of condemnation. It means withdrawing those perceptions and allowing ourselves to see who really is sitting in front of us. To be honoring the divinity within each other. At the end of our meditations every Wednesday, as we come out of the meditations, which usually takes a little while, we honor the divinity within one another. And it feels wonderful. And it is wonderful. Let's make allowances for people's differences. Let's cut each other a little slack. Shall we just cut each other a little slack? I think that in itself could go a long ways to being more kind and more compassionate. It's like the couple who decided to, instead of being annoyed with each other all the time. By the way, many years ago, somebody asked me if I was married, and at that time I was not, and I said, no, I'm not. He asked me again, you're not married? And I thought, oh, I'm really getting flattered here, you know. You're not married? No, I'm not. Then what do you do for aggravation? Cut me right down to size. So this couple, instead of deciding to continue to be annoyed with each other, they decided that when one of them did something that always annoyed the other one, that in their mind they would go, oh, isn't that adorable? Isn't that just precious? I don't know how well it worked for them, but I love that they tried it. Emerson said, it is one of the blessings of old friends that you can be stupid with them. I love that. You can afford to be stupid with them. You know they're going to love you anyway. You know that it just doesn't matter. I did something silly in the car coming here this morning, and it was just after 10. We were running a little bit late. And in the past, in other centers, there would have been a question like, well, they can't start without you, can they? But as you know, that's not so here. Oh, yes, they can. But it was just past 10, a little late for us to be coming, but we got here, didn't we? And I took the mirror and was starting to put it up, and it hit my head instead, and I started to laugh. And Reverend Mike looked at me, and then he realized I was laughing at myself, and he laughed too. And I said, I didn't quite make it, did I? And he said, what? I said, well, Will Rogers said that we should laugh at ourselves at least once before 10 o'clock every morning. It was just like 2 minutes past. It's important for us to stay light. As we're loving ourselves, let's love ourselves with a sense of, I'm just totally okay. Just as I am, as Anne said this morning. Just as we are. Loving our imperfections to perfection and knowing that they are perfection. And as we do that, doesn't it become easier to cut other people a little slack and say, isn't that adorable? It's a matter of changing the attitudes in order to bring more love and more compassion and more caring into our lives and into the world. We can do this. And please remember, we are not the only spiritual community in the world who are setting these intentions. Thank God there are so many light workers in this world, and they are our companions along the way. Let's join forces with them. Ernest Holmes says, ignorance stays with us until the day of enlightenment, until our vision toward the spirit broadens and casts out the image of a no longer useful littleness. What we now experience, we may cease experiencing if we have the will and the imagination to set our vision in an opposite direction and to hold it there. It is the office of the imagination to set the vision. The will should hold it in place until the creative genius of the inner life transforms the image of limitation and transmutes it into liberty under law. As Rumi says, your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. That's what we're doing. Will you join me in doing this? I know. I love it. It feels so good to be in a community where we have these intentions. I love sharing them with you. I love that we're walking this beautiful path together. So will you say with me, I reimagine the world as a haven of peace, as a beacon of light, and a house of love. And so, my beloveds, beginneth our lesson. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community, as together we create a world that works for all.